Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you're smiling, the whole smiles with you. When you're laughing, oh, when you're laughing, the sun comes shining through. When you're crying, you bring out the rain, so stop your sighing. Be happy again when you're smiling. The whole
hello and welcome to the Big Strong Leicester Boys podcast. Well, we knew this fixture promised goals and entertainment. So if you were unawares of some of the numbers, since Leicester were promoted back to the Premier League, this fixture has produced 71 goals. In the last four games, it produced 23. However, Leicester had lost all of those four. So, yeah, whilst the goals were predictable, the result perhaps less so, but absolutely delighted with Leicester's 4-1 victory over Spurs at the weekend. And do you know what? It could have been even more if VAR and offsides were what they were. Harvey Barnes done an absolute stinker there. But Leicester, absolutely outstanding. Going to really enjoy this next hour. And that music there, of course, everyone knows what that is when you're smiling. Jersey Bud. And Jersey's going to join us a little bit later on the podcast. I'm really looking forward to that. He's going to come in about 20 or so minutes time. But before that, we've got the band back together. We've got Jordan, we've got Jack, and we've got Rick. Jack, we'll start with you, mate, because, of course, still out there in Oz. The commitment is commendable. You've only had a few hours sleep, but you've got up at the crack of dawn to join us. So, yeah, thanks for that, mate. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right, thanks. I'm aware I may sound dreadful because I've managed to have a cold in the last week as well. So apologies about my voice. But, yeah, I'm all right. I'm now in Sydney. I think, probably about 5 hours sleep, and now I've been rudely awoken to come and talk to you boys. But it's an absolute pleasure to be here from so far away. So yeah, nice to see you all. Looking forward to hearing about your weekends.
Are you into the final stretches now in terms of your trip out there?
Yeah, back? I'm back. I fly back next Monday, so a week today. So yeah, we've got a final week in Sydney because my wife is working out here, so that's good. And then I fly back. We fly to Perth, I think, next Monday, and then we're back from there. So yeah, but Perth, good, because actually the Man U game, I think, is at 2 p.m. next Sunday, which means I should be able to watch it. I think it's an eight-hour difference in Perth. I've lost track of time. But yeah, I should be able to watch that at a reasonable hour and actually get some sleep, as opposed to a man that currently is not getting a huge amount of sleep.
Well, look, mate, it's very much appreciated. Jordan, how are you, mate? I can only presume as happy as the rest of us. It was brilliant, wasn't it, yesterday?
Yeah, happy as Larry, mate. Back from Bilbao. Managed to watch the game in a dodgy Irish bar with loads of rugger buggers watching the Six Nations. Listened to the podcast on the way back. And then, do you know what? Yesterday, I was... first time I've been really looking forward to watching us this season, and we didn't disappoint. Been cock-a-hoop all day and had the Tete song in my head all day as well. So... there finally is a bit of light at the end of the tunnel, it looks like, after what's been another difficult few months. But I think everyone now is, you know, I didn't think I'd be saying I can't wait for us to go to Old Trafford on Sunday. Yeah, I think we're going to give them a real game. And you know, then Blackburn in the FA Cup all of a sudden is looking a bit more tasty, and we're looking like we could end up in another quarter final. So it's looking good for once after, like I say, after a few dodgy games.
Yeah, it absolutely is. That month after the World Cup, those results weren't good. You know, it really wasn't. And we were dreading this run of fixtures. But we've got two wins so far. And as you said, Jordan, it just means now that going into games against Man United and Arsenal, we've got reason to be optimistic. We now introduce Ric Flair. But Rick, before we speak to you again, we've got some wrestler theme tunes. And this, mate, is my favourite. This one is pretty much for me. I don't even like wrestling, but this is absolutely epic. Oh man, I think it's absolutely fucking epic. That is Shinsuke Nakamura. Rick, are you aware of this man's work?
No.
Celtic?
I was the only one of same would recognise but... as probably The Undertaker or Ultimate Warrior. But no, that's a bit niche for me, but very good. I like it.
He's currently wrestling. I've got a mate who's absolutely obsessed with it. And I remember years ago he sent me that. And his entrance, his walk on goes on for about 10 minutes. He's got someone in the ring playing violin to that as he comes out doing his thing. And it's quite remarkable. And Shinsuke Nakamura. And as Jack correctly pointed out, that is also a footballer, the former Celtic man, but it's definitely not the same person. Do you remember him? There's a wrestler and a footballer, not the same person. But anyway, Rick, mate, how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks, Jake. Yeah, as Jordan says, I mean, once you get a result like that, the weekend takes care of itself, doesn't it? I mean, two weekends on the spin, we've not had it ruined by the football. It's Hacienda days at the minute, and we need to enjoy it because it's been a rough winter. Just brilliant. I sort of joked yesterday. I actually think yesterday might have been our best performance under Brendan Rodgers. And I mean, I'm not saying that and taking that lightly, because, yes, we've beaten Southampton 9-0 and there's been some unbelievable results. But I just thought yesterday was, to a man, we were just so much better than them. We absolutely buried them. And maybe I'm a little bit punch drunk. I have had a few to drink actually this afternoon, but we were brilliant yesterday, and yeah, the weekend's been very nice.
Yeah, no, it is funny you say that. And it's back to back mentions to my brother actually, because he said the same thing to me, Rick. He says, "Is that the best performance by Leicester under Brendan Rodgers?" I would need to think about it, and I need to sit down. But I mean, there's no getting away from the fact it was an absolutely amazing performance. Right. So that, everybody, was a quick blast of Blossom Charlemagne. Jordan, do you want to explain why that just happened?
Yeah, because I don't think Jack gets it.
Jack won't know about this. There's a confused look on his face.
To be honest, the last 5 minutes have not made a lot of sense.
Jordan, explain why on earth I'm going to keep on doing that throughout this episode.
I'm sure many people picked up on it, but before Maddison scored the second goal, for some reason, Blossoms just started playing just before he was about to shoot, and it was about 2 seconds. I'm amazed that it didn't put him off or he didn't miss.
Did well, didn't
he? And then blame the PA system. But match of the day edited out, which made me laugh. But yeah, it was absolutely
on the tannoy, it played out.
Yeah, it played on the tannoy. It's so loud.
So we don't know why or who's responsible. I'd imagine somebody was obviously in that area, kind of getting
in the system.
Well, I think they were probably getting ready to play some music at halftime, but didn't realise maybe that the fader or the mic was live and quickly panicked. But we were saying, imagine if they hadn't realised and it played for a few seconds longer, and either the goal got disallowed because of the music or Maddison missed because of the music. I mean, if you were that person responsible, you'd feel a right idiot, wouldn't you?
Does anyone remember last season? I can't remember which game it was, but there was like some child screaming on the tannoy for like most of the first half. I think it was against Napoli.
It rings a bell, yeah. It does.
It was really random. Yeah, yeah, I can't remember what they were saying, but yeah, it was very strange.
So there's going to be some, and congratulations to anyone, by the way, who did beat the intro and did know what that music was, because there were people sat behind me who heard it but thought it was like a siren or something or other. But yeah, Jordan and myself have said that it definitely was Blossom. So congratulations if anybody else realised that was the 2 seconds of music you heard before Madison scored the second. So Jordan, that point then, what just Rick said about the best performance under Rodgers, it's pretty difficult to compare to some of, but the point being is that really is right up there, isn't it? You know, to a man, you look around and everyone was outstanding. Yes, Spurs lost. Yes, Spurs weren't great, but the result wasn't because Spurs played badly. We were that good on the day. We really were, weren't we?
Yeah, I mean, like we were chatting before, Jake, the narrative might be that Spurs weren't up to much, but that was because we were just so good. Some of the football was reminiscent of when Rodgers first joined. And, you know, we could have had 6 or 7, I think, on another day.
Yeah. Definitely.
And we owed Spurs for the last few results against us. You know, they've pasted us 6-2, obviously the 3-2 last year, 6-1 at the King Power all those years ago. And it looked like the players had a real bit between the teeth. It looked like we were playing with a bit of swagger and a bit of confidence. And, you know, it's amazing what one win against Villa can do for the confidence. And the three lads that have come in seem to have lifted the whole place. Other than, you know, Castagne nearly scoring one of the best own goals I've ever seen, which I don't think was his fault. Ward came out, didn't do anything. Castagne skillfully took it around him and then tried to pop it in the corner.
Yeah, I thought that had gone in that.
But that was probably their second best chance of the game. And Suter looked like he slotted in comfortably. Mm. Yeah. Fez got booked early on and was magnificent after
he
that.
He was, yeah.
Because he was treading the tightrope and he barely let Kane have a touch. Christensen looks phenomenal. I know it's early, but he looks like a complete athlete. Exactly what I can't remember the guy's name, you know, Jake, who came on the pod, Danish journalist.
Yeah, Klaus Ehlund.
Klaus, yeah. So exactly what he said. He can run for days. He was celebrating in the net when he somehow diverted one over the crossbar.
Yeah.
You know, Tielemans was missing and Mendy came in and was sensational. Why he doesn't shoot more after seeing that, I don't know. I mean, you could arguably say Tete was the quietest player in blue. And I thought he did what he did. I thought he did well, but he didn't have a huge effect on the game. And it seemed to me like Tottenham just focused on Tete and completely forgot about Harvey Barnes the other side. Because it looked, like a weight was lifted off his shoulders. He was back to his best. I'll save the best till last. I thought Iheanacho was excellent, dropping deep. His goal was fantastic. Fantastic pass again for Madison, given that Blossoms were blaring in his ear and I was waiting for him to miss. But James Madison back in the team, and what a player and what a lift. You can just see when he's on the pitch, everyone else just grows in stature.
Yeah.
And he makes us go from what's been a pretty poor season, a pretty average side, to a really top quality, dangerous side. And it's impossible not to get carried away. I'm so enthused for the rest of the season, because if we can get that 11 out, you know, you've still got Yuri to come back.
Yeah.
We can do something this season. We played 22.
So yeah. 16
left, and we could be in the quarterfinal of the cup. There is still plenty to play for this year.
Yeah, and look, mate, you're so right. And there's going to be so many things on this episode we're probably not going to be able to cover. I mean, you mentioned about Fez. I thought he was absolutely brilliant, but we're not really probably going to get time to talk about him. Harry Suter was brilliant. Christensen, you know, we haven't even mentioned or barely mentioned Papi Mendy yet. Iheanacho, Madison, Barnes, you know, everyone was brilliant. It was that good of a performance. And, you know, Jack, in many ways, everyone or many people turned up looking and hoping for some Tete magic, you know, with the Brazilian flags in the crowd. But what they did get initially was some magic from Mendy, wasn't it? I mean, that goal, my word, am I right in saying it's his first goal for Leicester, first ever goal or first goal since 2015, but only his second ever goal as a professional? On the basis of that strike, as Jordan says, he should be shooting more.
Well, I don't know if you've seen his other goal as well. That was quite good.
Was it?
Yeah, it was like a I don't know, 30-yard screamer. I mean, he never gets in the box. Very, very surreal. So I was trying to wake up. I slept through my alarm, so I missed the first half. I turned my phone on at halftime. Yeah. Loads of messages from you. A voice note from Rick. And I was like, and I wasn't surprised that we were winning 3-1, but I was like, surely Mendy's not scored.
Yeah.
Like, that can't have happened.
Go back to sleep.
But yeah, I was like, I must be dreaming. But he was brilliant. He was also making tackles like Kante as well. Like, there was one in the second half where I think it's Kulusevski. A couple of times he nicked the ball off him brilliantly, and he's not famed for that. So yeah, he was very good. I mean, the cynic in me says there's 6 months left on his contract and he realizes he needs to find another gig, and he does seem to do quite well in the dying embers of his contract. But yeah, good debate on the last show about starting him, Jake. I think you were the only person in the entirety of the Leicester fan base that thought it was a good idea to start him ahead of Yuri. And what do we know? Hey, he was very, very good. And probably I was thinking, actually, maybe it was a bit of a blessing in disguise that he did play, because we needed that balance in the midfield. Yeah, so
I do think we did.
Yeah, interesting now what he would go and do next week, because assuming Yuri's going to be fit.
Yeah.
Well, play Mendy again?
Well, the thing is, Jack, as we've said about how well everyone did play, and then maybe Tete had a quiet game, I did also think that Dewsbury Hall struggled at times. You know, we've mentioned how pivotal and important he is to this team, which I think that Rodgers does recognise with his intensity, etc. But I think maybe now with some other players that have come in that do add that element, that maybe Dewsbury Hall isn't maybe as vital as what he once was. And I would be inclined, considering the performance of Mendy and that need for a defensive midfielder and the fact that Tielemans is likely to come back in, I think that Dewsbury Hall, if Tielemans is fit, may drop to the bench for United game.
I don't know. He's moved him to the right, and his left-footedness is becoming more and more apparent, because he's very...
Like, he literally passed it out of the pitch a couple of times yesterday. And I think overall he was okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Just maybe not at the same level as everyone else.
The only bit is, and quality-wise, I think he struggles, but it's just his energy. I think if you got Yuri and Mendy as those two midfielders, I don't know, I've got palpitations thinking about the Man U midfield running past him. But... yeah, I mean, it's a tough one to pick. And yeah, I don't know. We've got a bunch of very small midfielders if we play all them as well. So, I mean, I don't know. It's not me to choose, but again, it's a nice problem to have, I guess, that we've actually got competition for places, because we've not had that all year.
Right. Well, we'll talk more in depth later on about what on earth that team should be for Man United. We will do. Looking forward to that. But look, as promised, delighted to say now we're joined by Jersey Bud. Jersey, can you hear us, mate?
I can hear you, mate. How are you?
Yeah, we're really good. Yeah, we're really good. We just spent the last 20 minutes waxing lyrical about that game yesterday. I presume you got to watch it and you enjoyed it as much as we did.
I did. I was down there, mate. Yeah. I went looking for my keyboard player, Andy, he had a spare ticket, so I sort of dropped on last minute. But for what a game to drop onto, eh? Yeah, it was amazing, mate. Yeah, from the start, you can tell. I know the Tottenham goal, obviously a great corner, but it sort of, they got lucky, didn't they? But that was the only sort of the thing all game. We battered them, and the party went on well into the night for us boys. Yeah, that's it.
We did it. What was your evening like then yesterday? Were you gigging last night, or was it literally celebrating and feeling a little bit tender all day today?
No, that's it, man. No, we went to, I don't know if you... We walked into town after the game with a few lads and went to the Rutland and Derby. And then just and I say everyone, the whole pub was just talking about the game. It was a great atmosphere in there. So obviously you feel obliged just to keep drinking and keep partying, don't you? That's it, yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that's how it works, isn't it? Look, we were talking about the change that there's been in the last few weeks, particularly with the new signings. And, you know, we've all maybe struggled at times this year, you know, in terms of, you know, the performances haven't been great. But the last couple of weeks, Jersey, must kind of give you plenty of kind of optimism going forward for the rest of the season, that things are now starting to look up.
Yes, absolutely, Jack. Yeah, I think well, it's, everyone knows before the World Cup, we sort of got some momentum back, and then for whatever reason, obviously the stop with the World Cup stopping the season, sort of lost momentum, and then we haven't sort of been at the races, have we? But it seems like freshening up of the squad, then few faces coming in, like you say, and they're just sort of, they're in Christensen yesterday looked amazing. It reminded me like a Fuchs. You know what you're going to get. No frills. Just steady defending. I mean, nothing against Luke Thomas, but he's just a bit more. He seems a bit steadier than Luke Thomas. Do you know what I mean? And it just reminded me. He'd do a job for you. Mendy was like outstanding. But and also that the work rate and that that desire and intensity that Rodgers goes on about all the time. That was back because, I mean, a few before, at the start of the season, I remember watching, I think it was the Brighton game away. And you can just tell, we're all playing football, and it was Saturday afternoon or Sunday morning. And you know when you're going through the motions, don't you? Sort of, I'll go and close there, left back down.
Yeah.
And you're not really on it. So the intensity in the running was like, that started from Ian Acho as well, I must admit. Yesterday, he was on the money, on the ball. And I think that's it. Because once you, if nothing, you work hard, don't you? You hassle anybody, and bar Messi and Ronaldo, I think every player in the world, not given any space at all, looks just as average as the rest of us, really, I think.
Yeah, Rick, on Harry Suter, we haven't really mentioned him yet, and I do want to talk about him quickly. He went under the radar a little bit against Villa, probably because of the own goal. Not really any fault of his own. But Christensen played really well, and Tete was outstanding. But I thought Suits yesterday was brilliant. And he's exactly kind of what we've been missing in terms of that presence. And what I like about him, right, is that he just does his job. He knows what his job is. You know, win your headers, win the ball, and then just give it to the man next to you, right? But at the same time, every now and again, he will then switch it, ping it, 30, 40 yards. So you know that he's got that in his locker if he needs it. But he don't try that unless the ball is on. The rest of the time, he just does his job. You know, and there's a few times where he was winning headers, you know, from corners and that kind of thing. I think he's got the makings, mate, of being a bit of a cult hero. I really do. Yeah. I think he's just going to get better. I can see that, the progression within him. I think we've unearthed another real gem there. And I said this in the WhatsApp group, all three signings, Tete, Christensen and Suter, when you look at the combined money we've spent on them, I think that the club have done remarkably well in that January transfer window when there was a huge amount of pressure on them, not just to bring bodies in, but wants to improve the team right now. And they fucking nailed all three, didn't they?
Absolutely. I mean, I did say last month that we had to ace the transfer window, and we probably need to do the same in the summer and possibly, you know, the next couple after that, because we've got so many players to replace. But Suter, I mean, I'm glad you said that, Jake, because I did want to talk about him. He probably, you know, he's less down on the list of standout performers yesterday who's going to take the headlines, but I was so impressed with him, even though Fass had his best game in a long while. You know, that tackle that Fass did to come through to Iheanacho for Maddison's goal. But Suter was doing the same. You know, he was coming out and like getting the ball. Kane didn't get a sniff. He was just closing everything down. And if he wasn't playing simple passes, calm and composed, he was then switching the play. I mean, he got the assist, didn't he, for Iheanacho's, which was not like, I wouldn't say he deliberately meant it, but it was a ball into space for Iheanacho to run onto. And everything seems to be working, doesn't it? And momentum can be everything. You can make signings and them not work straight away, and then it's on the back, but they've hit the ground running, all three of them. Suter just looks, he looks a cult hero in the making. Whether it's him wearing that 15 shirt and him looking like Maguire in that first season that he, you know, really did well for us, I don't know. But I love him. And I do love how they're doing all the Australian bit, and then you hear him after he had that interview with Mark Schwartz during the week, and then he's got the broadest Scottish accent.
Yeah.
It's good.
I tell you what we need now, because Jordan says he's got the Tete song in his head. We haven't got one yet for Christensen and Suter. I mean, maybe Rick and Jersey, you can combine and do us a couple of songs. How about that?
what's the Tete one? I was trying to. What's the Tete one?
Come on, George.
Who knows that one?
George's got it.
Do you really want me to sing?
Yes,
it
we do.
Jersey,
absolutely, yeah.
It's the you know, the San Lorenzo tune in Argentina, and it's Oh Mateus Tete. Oh, Mateus Tete, let's all do the samba down Filbert way. He's the best you've ever seen. Better than Pele.
Are you on the lookout jersey for any backing singers, mate?
Well, I wasn't. But now, yeah, come to say, now, Jordan, you're in, mate. You're in.
in typical English football style, it has to be somewhere 200 miles an hour.
That's right. I still can't get the Patson Daka. I still can't work out the Patson Daka. It's just he come from Zambia. I can't even work it out. I went down against the Forest and we beat them 4-0. I was at the back near the Union FS and I thought, well, I still can't work out. You just bounce up and down, you know, like, Patson Daka. It's great, wonderful.
It's Shakira, isn't it? It was the World Cup song from, was it 2010?
Don't mind it.
It's called Waka Waka Jersey. Maybe we can do a cover of that one.
I'll get on it. I'll get my kids to Google that. Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about the music. I know that Rick and Jord have both got some stories and anecdotes they want to share with you, Jersey. But I mean, I know it's a really obvious question, but when you're smiling, right, when that is played before kickoff and you're in the stadium, what does that feel like, mate?
Yeah, amazing. I mean, I'm in the first. All them years ago, I think it was back in about 10 years ago. I think when the club saw media approach me to do it, and it was Nigel Pearson was down. So yeah, it was all great. Had the players in the studio, but when you heard it for the first time in the stadium, it sort of made your hair stand up on the back of your neck. Yeah, real goosebump moment. Do you know what I mean? And even yesterday, sort of coming into the ground at 5-3, just nipped into the toilet and it's blasting out the speaker system. Yeah, because obviously. Because then you get all the, who's this bastard? Who's that one? Yeah, yeah. It's like nodding like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you're right on next to you. Who's singing in? Run the rubbish. Yeah, okay, mate. All right, pal. Yeah, yeah. But it's amazing, mate. Yeah, obviously, we're all City fans. So it's a massive thing. I mean, I've got to thank PSV Eindhoven for that. And obviously the great win over there. Because they sort of reinvented it, really. But I mean, it was not, nobody's. I didn't think anyone cared about it really. I mean, that's no problem at all. It was a bit of fun when we did it, but obviously when they were flying in Europe last season, it sort of got a bit easier. Do you know what I mean? So it sort of took off, and I always thought it was a bit of a curse. I was talking to Neil Plum, the photographer, Plummy, and I rang him up the other week for something else. And he went, "We ain't won since we started playing your song again." And I went, "Well, I know what he's saying. It has been mentioned before." So I'm glad we battered the Spurs yesterday. Yeah, it was a great day.
And I'll be honest, Jersey. Obviously, I've been going to Leicester for years and years, and I've always known this song and its kind of relevance to the club and the fact that you did it. But when I downloaded the song today to play into the show, I'll be honest, I didn't realise that you did the song with the team back in 2009, 2010.
Yeah, that's it, mate. Yeah.
So how did that come about? What was that like?
It was Saw Media. I think Dean Elgis from Saw Media. They used to do the program. I think they sorted out that. I'm not too sure if they're in there now. They approached me to do it, and it was when I think we lost to. Well, I think it was the Kermagan. Was it the Kermagan when he did that crazy penalty? I'm sure it was that year, Jake. But we had Paul Gallagher and Richie Wellens and Stevie Howard. They were great crack, and the rest of the boys were. And then they came in the studio in it was Kasabian's studio in El Shilton, and then they all come in. They were good as gold, yeah, in and out. And the Birch came, obviously. You got nowhere out of the Birch, do you? And it was great fun. I mean, and then Paul Gallagher and Wellens actually, and Stevie Howard actually came and see me. When I was touring up in Manchester up there, so like they followed me around. He loves his music, Paul Gallagher does.
Yeah, I was going to say, he does play, doesn't he? That was in the back of my head. Does he play guitar?
I've never heard him play guitar. I've never heard him play. I'm not too sure. But I mean, I know he does love his music, mate. Yeah, he does. I mean, yeah, a lot of them do. A lot of them fancy themselves as singers, don't they?
who does fancy themselves a bit, the singer from that squad back then?
Well, it was Gallagher, Paul Gallagher. He was the one. He was the one at the front. If you see all the photos, him and Wellens were at the front, right near the Plummy, the photographer, and just sort of. I think he wanted to get his face in the photos and things like that. Bit of limelight, yeah. Do you remember? I remember that, yeah, because it was. What was his name? Was it Wayne Brown, the defender?
Yeah.
Yeah. It, 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 so yeah, he, yeah. That it was on East Midlands Today or something. And it was like, yeah, that singer's all right, and he's all right, yeah, he's got a decent voice to be fit. That's where Noel Gallagher talking about me.
Yeah. And Wayne Brown. Stick that on the album cover, Wayne Brown. Mate,
I've told the kids about that.
Yeah. Well, talking of big name singers, Rick, I think you've got a bit of a question story for Jersey, haven't you, mate?
Yeah, so Jersey, hello, mate.
Hello, my man.
I've got a bit of a. We're going to put you on the spot. You remember what were you doing on July the 10th, 2009?
No, I've got no idea, but that was around about the album was coming out,
wasn't it? Somerset House, London.
You played with the Enemy.
Reverend of the Makers. I came to see you.
Did you really? Yeah,
I did, mate. Yeah, my missus even had a picture taken with you, which I was trying to find. I was going to stick it in the WhatsApp. I can't find it. Yeah,
and I was trying to delete it.
Well, the weird thing, it was my birthday, but I googled it earlier because I couldn't remember whether it was my birthday or another day, and the article said that the support act Jersey Bud outshadowed the Enemy and the Reverend and the Makers. So there you go, pal. You were the main man that night.
Well, that very. I know. We ended up on a boat and a party boat, and the Enemy. They were playing. They were supporting Oasis and Kasabian at Wembley the next day.
Yeah, and I went to that one.
I left that party with my manager and a couple of others it was early hours, let's say 1 o'clock, 2 a.m. And Tom Clark from the Enemy was still on the boat. Like, he was with a few celebrity Big Brother people, the girls. And then I found out I had a festival down in Guildford Guildfest next day. And it turned out my manager rang me. He said, he's not turned up. He's got a sore throat. So he looked all right this morning about 2 o'clock when I left him. imagine ringing in sick with that gig at Wembley. Can't be asked to do that.
Yeah,
but I thought, right, so yeah, there you go. Yeah, left him on the boat, and that's Somerset. It was some place that was, yeah, yeah, really. Really. I've done some nice venues over the years, don't get me wrong. I've done some holes as well, but yeah, that's it. But yeah, it's lovely to be reminded about that. Yeah, the kids don't believe me, you see. The kids don't believe me,
Jersey, mate. I won't be able to do this story justice, but I'm hoping you remember it. I wasn't actually there, but my mate says he played Saturday football against you once.
Yeah.
And I can't remember whether it was you or one of their lads, but he said horrible tackle went in. And, it all kicked off, 22 lads piling in and
yeah,
a few like little digs going in and whatnot. And I think you got me, mate, or he got you or something. And he goes, fuck off, mate. You look like Jersey Bud. And you well, that's because I am fucking Jersey.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
And everyone just started laughing. He said it just diffused the whole thing. The ref was pissed himself.
Yeah,
and that was it.
Do you remember that? Well, vaguely. I'm not being bad, but we've had a couple of 22-man brawls. Yeah, and people are fancy. Yeah, I can't remember who it was against. But vaguely remember that. Now, again, I forgot about that. But there was the one particular one in. I played for the St. Pat's the St. Pat's first team a couple of years ago, and at Gypsy Laneway in Leicester, and then we played Houghton. We're getting battered about 5-0, and I'm at the centre back, so I've took all the brunt of it. And the kids showboating. You've got the hairband on and ponytail, all that sort of Beckham-esque. Well, he's running to the corner flag, and we're 5-0 down. I thought, I've just got to hammer him. I'm 6'4". I thought, he's going down. He's going to the corner flag. He's facing the corner flag. Anyway, hit him. Anyway, a bit of whatever. Don't worry about it. My own fault. So we're in Krakow. Me and my wife and a few others went for my birthday last September. And sure enough, because in the square in Krakow, anyway, and the lads went like, I sat down. The lads went, are you Jersey? I went, well, ain't that famous, but yeah, I am, mate. Yeah, who's that? Yeah. He says, you actually, I think the one he word, you batted me, mate, in the corner flag. I said, I remember that was our opening gambit. He said, not about me music or anything like that. It was just like, you having my major football. And that's what I'm good for, really, now. Years ago, I was a big striker, big target man. But the slower and older you get, you just work your way back to retirement, don't you, really? So I'm at centre-back at the minute.
So you're still playing?
I ain't going in goal because my eyes ain't very good, so... his retirement after this one.
But yeah, you're still playing, yeah. What locally?
Yeah, that's still the St. Pat's Vets. Over 35s, and I play in the centre midfield for that. But I can just about get away with that. But I try and keep myself fit enough. Yeah. Do you boys play?
Yeah, I'm still playing. George's still playing. Jack and Rick, I don't think so. No.
Not for a long time now.
No. No, me and George, but yeah, we're only a couple of years away ourselves from going into the Vets now, aren't we, mate? Both 33.
Yeah, mate.
I might be able to play up front for the Vets, so yeah, something to look forward to.
Well, we need a striker, mate. We need a striker definitely for the pass. Yeah, all you have to do to qualify is, well, my mum's Irish, you see, she was born in Ireland, but I'm sure if you can spell Dublin and just been through, had a drink of Guinness, you're in. That's about it, mate. Yeah.
It sounds very appealing. Mate, we'll let you go in a couple of moments' time, but literally back to Leicester for a couple of minutes' time. So with the rest of the season now, 6 points clear of the relegation places, are you starting to look up now or still kind of a little bit wary of what's happening behind us? What are your hopes now for the rest of the season?
I think I'm mid-table. I hope we don't get dragged back into a relegation fight, which I don't think we will. So mid-table, and I think that'll do this season. I mean, it's a bit of obviously that's a conversation for another time. Sort of how it started so wrong this season. Do you know what I mean? With Schmeichel leaving a week before the start of the season. So there's obviously that instead of giving him a big send off. So there's something's gone on down there. There's the old just a typical cliche, but there is a bit of. But I think it's been sorted out. Just ironed out a few bumps in the road, you know what I mean? But this looks like they got the togetherness back again, the squad, you know what I mean? That sort of after the game yesterday we stayed and they're all in the huddle. I know we just battered Tottenham 4-1, but he seems to have got that belief back and confidence. So and a good cup run, like we all want, get to the later stages, over the final of the FA Cup, and we can go this time to Wembley. That'd be great, really. It was a mid-table plus a Wembley final, that'd be wonderful.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. And then, mate, literally just before you go, what gigs have you got coming up? Where can people come see you?
Yes, well, we've got. I'm playing in London, 22nd of February. That's at the Balham Theatre in, Bedford Theatre in Balham. And then I'm playing a hometown gig at the Musician in Leicester, Friday the 31st of March. And then I've got about 5, 6, 7 festivals throughout the summer, and then whilst I'm in the studio around work at the minute, because I'm about to go back work, and because free kids don't pay for themselves, do they? so just while the music's gone back to being a hobby, but I'm in the studio night times and when I can weekends. Yeah. So there'll be a 5-track EP out hopefully just after the summer, after summer dates, and then I'm just booking. I've got 2 dates already, Manchester and Liverpool, for a few dates in October. So watch this space, mate. I'll be back out there. Yeah, trying to get that a bit more. And I see the kids are doing me heading, you see. So that's what I've got to get that.
yeah, do a couple of tours. That's the way
to do it,
mate.
That's right. Even if I lose money, don't worry about it.
Jersey, mate, you're an absolute legend, mate. I really appreciate your time and coming on the pod.
Thanks for having me on, lads. Yeah, nice one.
Appreciate it. No worries. Cheers, Jersey. Take care, boys. Right, there we are, the brilliant Jersey Bud. Love that. It's funny, you know, because he messaged me last week saying, oh, I'm playing in Bedford in Balham, which is literally about 5 minutes away from where I live. But it's a midweek, right? And obviously, I just can't go to the booze a midweek. So, as yeah, probably mentioned, well, you boys know, I have to get up in the middle of the
night. Hyrox.
No, it's either Hyrox or TalkSport, but unfortunately, I have to get up for TalkSport at 3 o'clock in the morning. But anyway, I was going to mention this anecdote for Jersey, but decided kind of best of it. But I've been chucked out of the Bedford a couple of times in Balham. The last one, was very drunk, did a bottomless brunch during the daytime and ended up in the Bedford later on in the evening. And I mean, obviously, I can't really remember, so I can't really tell you loads of the stories, but all I know is I have one picture of 4 of my mates picking me up and carrying me out. I'm a big boy and I'm literally dead weight. I have that picture on my Hinge profile. I mean, you lads are very unlikely to come across that, but for anyone else who ever sees that picture of me on Hinge with four lads carrying me out of a pub, that is in the Bedford, which is where you can go watch Jersey Bud next week. Next Wednesday evening. It's a good boozer as well. But anyway, really enjoyed that from Jersey. Let's have a few more minutes chatting about the game before we play Who Are You, then, and look ahead to Man United. Who from the outstanding performances, we've not mentioned Iheanacho, have we? Let's do that. This has been dividing the WhatsApp group throughout the course of the last couple of weeks. I think goes without saying, I'm a massive fan of Iheanacho and have been for a long time. And I've been delighted that he's had his opportunity again and is taking that opportunity. Now, the skeptics have already mentioned that maybe it's because his contract maybe is beginning to run down a little bit and he's rediscovering some form. However, the believers will say that he's always kind of been this player, but has never really played in a team which suited his style, and he's never really then had the backing and belief of the manager, which is, of course, how I feel about it. Of course, he has his frustrations and isn't the perfect player and, you know, has at times, you know, put in poor performances. But I've always believed that there has been a really super player in there. And the last couple of weeks, the way that he does drop in and link up that play, the passes through to Tete against Villa, for Barnes for the one which was actually disallowed yesterday, which shouldn't have been disallowed. He picks up spaces and finds areas which no other strikers really do. He's very clever. He's very creative. He tries stuff. And yeah, as I said, he's not the perfect footballer. There are flaws to his game. But you'll see at the moment when he does drop into them holes, the way that Barnes and Tete run beyond him and the way he finds them. And also then with Maddison nice and tight to him, the way those two link up. Because again, he drops off and plays those ones and twos really nicely. I just think that he's a lot better than some people are still giving him credit for. And I think that, yes, he probably is enjoying a good bit of form. You know, and this level of goals and assists isn't going to continue every game until the end of the season. But I do think that what he is showing right now is the player that he is. Before we kind of get your lads' takes on this, I do want to mention this stat. And again, I know some people don't necessarily buy into this, but it kind of supports my argument that when I say that he has always delivered when he has been given an opportunity, because, again, I know this is an incredibly long-winded monologue here, that people will say, well, he only scores goals in the Cup and in the Europa League and the FA Cup when he's playing against lower league opposition, which isn't incorrect. He's always scored goals in those games for us. But I saw this from Opta Joe on Twitter earlier on today, and it says, among players with 150-plus appearances in the Premier League, Kelechi Iheanacho ranks 10th all-time for minutes per goal or assist, which I have to say I was very surprised by. But at the same time, that does prove that when he has been given minutes, he has always got goals and assists. Now, look, if you look at the rest of the top 10 that are in there, it's the likes of, you know, your Henrys, your Agüeros, your Drogbas, your Canes. Now, I'm not for a single moment suggesting he's anywhere near that same level. And the minutes he would have played would have been a whole lot less, because lots of these are substitute appearances. But still, it's 150 games where he's delivered goals and assists every 112 minutes. And that is a bloody good return, particularly when you say that it's been in a team that hasn't particularly suited his style. Who wants to go first here in terms of Jack? Glad you stick your hand up there. Jack, your thoughts on Iheanacho and what I've just said.
I don't disagree with anything you've just said. Mm. However, well, I do disagree with some bits. The idea that he's always been a great player for us is just like utter nonsense, because he's not. The first... up until the Everton game under Rodgers, he was, I mean, in danger, like no one knew what to do with him, because he was an expensive mistake. So he's definitely turned it round under Rodgers. Sorry, if the noise is really bad in the background.
We can just about hear it, but it's fine.
Okay,
mate, it's
fine. Yeah, like, they keep turning it up. I'll ask them to put When You're Smiling on in a minute. Yeah, exactly. First 3 years he was here, he wasn't very good. Most of the time he needed to be here. He's needed to play in a two, I think. I describe him as quite a needy player, because I don't really know whether he's a number nine or a number 10. He he thinks he's a number 10. There's an interview with him in Nigeria saying he never plays in his proper position because Maddison plays ahead of him. And it's like, well, Maddison's a better player than him. I think he's found his role in our system. And I think that works for him. But, you know, I think he's doing well and long may it continue. But I think his... I think this idea that he doesn't play enough or hasn't played enough or is underutilized by the managers it's a bit hindsight because, you know, for most of the time that he's been here, Vardy's been a better player than him. And then over the last, I mean, he played in the Europa Conference League and I don't think he set the world alight at all. So, I mean, he's been very, very good last two games. Long may it continue, but I mean, he's still got to prove for me that he is the long-term option in that position.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jack, which probably won't come as a surprise. I don't disagree with what everyone says about Iheanacho, but for me, my main criticism was that you had to change the whole shape of the team to play him in a two, and that usually means not playing Barnes. I mean, it is difficult when you're coming in and out of the side, especially as a striker. And a lot of the times I think he's come on with a bit of a hide into nothing where we need a goal and he might have got it. You know, not to say he's been brilliant in the FA Cup, brilliant in, you know, cup competitions. And that 2000, I can't remember the year, but the COVID season where we finished fifth, he carried us. I think he scored 15 that season. So, you know, there's no doubt there is a player there. That said, I think a lot of it with Kelechi is that it kind of goes under the radar when he doesn't play very well. And, you know, the last two games, two goals, two assists in this system, with Tete one side and Barnes the other, and especially with Maddison in behind, that does suit him. The thing I will say is to be entirely convinced of him, I think for me, he's going to have to do it until the end of the season. I don't know his contract situation, to be honest. Expired?
He's got 18 months.
So, okay, he's got long enough.
And the only reason I said that was because it's exactly when he went into form against... he had 18 months to run and when he went on that hot streak and won us the FA Cup as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's got long enough on his contract. I think he'd have to prove it till the end of the season. But again, Vardy... has been in and out, not been great this season. Daka, exactly the same. And Kel does offer us something completely different to those two. So that said, I mean, was it the last time I was on before last week, I think we were saying, you know, we could have a potential problem with Iheanacho in the summer. What do we do with him? And it feels like we've been here before. So if he carries on the last two games, like he has in the last two games to the end of the season, there's no doubt that he'll be the number one striker. But what's the phrase? Is it two swallows don't make a summer?
Yeah, that's the one.
There you go. Two games don't make a season. So long may continue, as Jack said.
No, but like, look, I don't, again, massively disagree with anything you guys have said. Of course not. You know, it's a game of opinions, isn't it? But I do think as well, bigger picture stuff here with Vardy coming to the end. And I do think, you know, we all know my opinion on Daka, but I also think it's quite clear now. Well, not quite necessarily clear, but I get the feeling that Rodgers is now of the same thinking that Daka perhaps isn't the future. And with all the work that the club have to do in the summer in terms of signings, if Iheanacho does now find this level, it saves us having to go out and buy another player where we're clearly going to have to buy loads already. What's the Ric Flair rating of Iheanacho over the last couple of games?
I mean, it's up there, isn't it? It's pretty faultless the last two games because he's had another assist chucked off for Barnes yesterday, which would have been two goals, four assists in his last two games, which is, you know, if I'm giving Tete tens, then, you know, Senior Man's probably off the bloody scale. But the thing with him is, he is the most baffling player you will ever see. You know, sometimes his first touch is a shot, isn't it? You know, it comes and you're like, bloody hell, he's about to put a window through it. But I love it. He's, as you said a few weeks ago, Jake, because I think we were having this debate, and it was the unpredictability. I think Jack exactly. said he must be a nightmare to manage, and he is a nightmare to manage. But at the same time, that also brings its benefits, doesn't it? Because you don't know what you're going to get. I've said before, you can start him in games and he can be diabolical. You can bring him on in games and he looks better. And it's almost like, I don't know what to do with him. But at the same time, he has had a lot of games. He has played a lot and he's been given chances. He's toiled in games. He's never been allowed to play 5 or 10 games or be crap in 5 or 10 games. Well, Vardy's had 5 or 10 exactly. games and play crap. Now, yeah. I know Vardy's our best ever player, so he's earned the right. Dakar's played 5 or 10 games and been the absolute pits. And it's like, well, Vardy's injured. Iheanacho can't play up front on his own. Dakar still gets to play.
Mm.
At the minute, Iheanacho's not playing badly, so we don't need to have that conversation. But I do feel like he's playing well, so he obviously starts, no-brainer. But I feel like he also needs, if he does it, a bit of a wobble and we toil again,
back him.
Let him play and see what happens. If after another few games, it's like, no, he's never going to be our main man, you've got to sell him in the summer, because with a year to go, there's no point. You're just prolonging. It's like being in a relationship, isn't it? That, you know, and then now and again, they'll put on a nice dress and lipstick. You think, here we go. And then, you know, so, but at the minute, obviously, he's the business. And yeah, you can't fault him.
I think the point on giving him run of games is a very valid one. I'm going to stick up for Dakar a little bit, because I'd argue in Dakar's first 2 years, he's shown far more than Kel did in his first 2 years, and he's still only 22. So
yeah,
I think if Iheanacho tells us one thing, it's not to write off players too quickly. And I'd actually say, like, I don't really know what Kel is good at. He's a very good finisher. And he's reasonably strong and he's reasonably quick. I look at Dakar's game and go, he's very fast. And I think he's probably as good a finisher as Kel. I mean, people might disagree with me on that, but I think he is a very calm finisher off both feet, where I don't think Kel necessarily is. But so I see lots of potential in Dakar. But I think for me, up front is one position that I wouldn't necessarily worry about too much in the summer, because I think you've got Kel, you've got Dakar, Vardy's probably got a year to go as well. So it's probably the year after. And actually, if you look at the amount of work the squad needs to be done on the squad, up front's probably not one of those at the moment. I mean, I was looking yesterday. We've scored, I can't remember, I think it's 39 goals now, maybe 36, but that's right up there. And under Brendan, we always score goals, which actually gives me real confidence about staying up. Like, you compare that to Forest, who are on the same number of points. I think they've scored 17 goals or something in 22 games. So goal scoring is not necessarily the problem, because we're getting it from other areas of the pitch as well. So I think they're just up front, not an area I'm hugely concerned about. And I would definitely be giving Dakar a bit of time, because I see some potential there as well.
Okay, well, we'll leave that there. No doubt we'll revisit this plenty of more times before the end of the season, and probably next week as well. I've just got a quick thought before we do. Who are you? There's a bit of Charlemagne there, wasn't it? That was one of them. Who's supposed to be in charge of Who Are You today?
Definitely wasn't me. That wasn't it.
Before we play a game of Who Are You and we do this on the pod, does anybody have any idea who it's supposed to be? I think might be me.
I've got a horrible... Yeah, I'm pretty sure it wasn't me. I'm pretty sure I volunteered, but...
Yeah.
Is it me?
If you need a bit of time,
do you want to talk about Harvey Barnes amongst yourselves?
Well, yeah, I've got a couple of fillers.
I've got a player in my head, but I'm going to have to quickly go on his Wikipedia and think of some clues.
Okay.
And whilst I do that, you chat amongst yourselves, lads, as ever the professional podcast this is.
Yeah, just I thought Harvey Barnes was excellent yesterday, and I say this completely smugly, it absolutely doesn't surprise me. I think the fact that Maddison's back in the team and Tete sort of balancing out the other wing makes him a much better player. I also think playing with Christensen helps him, and that was blindingly obvious. You know, he's not the type of player that you can just necessarily rely on to do things on his own. But when he plays like that, he's up there with any winger in the Premier League, and that's what, 8 goals now. Could have had another goal. The cross for Cal was unbelievable. So yeah, I'm really pleased to see. I'm sure we might get called rude things on the internet for sticking up for him again, but I thought he was excellent.
Yeah, I'm with you, mate. And again, it doesn't surprise me. I didn't hear Rodgers post-match. I got told, though, Rodgers said it was a bit of a ploy because he knew that Tottenham would focus on Tete and they forgot about Barnes. And it was just great to see Barnes. He's got Christensen herring down the outside of him. He can come inside because Iheanacho's giving him some space, or he can play a little 1-2. Took his proper goal really well. Took his goal, was ruled out really well. And it looked like the Barnes of old, where he was just full of confidence, running at players. And yeah, I mean, was it 8 goals? It doesn't surprise me whatsoever. And when you've got that balance of Tete, Barnes the other side, Maddison at 10, that is a top 8 front 3, Barnes, whatever striker it is. I mean, I'd be looking, whatever his contract situation is, I'd be looking to tie him down for as long as possible, because I think he could be serious money in the future. But it's great to see. If you know, we've been saying it for a while. He's been short of confidence. A lot of people have been getting on his back. He did have a lot of room yesterday. They played 3-5-2, and I don't know if it was Tanganga on that side. But yeah, that Pedro Porro had a bit of a welcome to the Prem. Playing against Barnes, you could get a bit of room when you went behind the wing back when you play 3-5-2. But yeah, I mean, he was absolutely outstanding. And the only thing that was missing for me yesterday was a bit of samba, a bit of flair from Tete. So hopefully we get to see that next week.
Are you ready?
He'll be back. Don't you worry, Joe.
Yeah, we're ready.
Right. Jake's done his research. Isn't
yeah,
he? Yeah.
Right, here we go.
Who is your daddy and what does he do?
Who are you?
You.
No, not me, you.
Yes, I am you.
Just answer the damn questions. Who are you?
Wait a minute. Who are you?
Yes, thank you, lads. Remember to turn it off. Yes, I will do. So it's time for Who Are You? I'm going to fade the music out now and then get rid of it because, yes, like everyone else, I now get PTSD when I hear that music. Right. So I'm in charge for Who Are You, apparently. I've quickly got one together, although I did think of this player a couple of weeks ago. So it wasn't completely plucked from midair. Rick, by the way, you're 2 from 2, aren't you? Rick is undefeated. He's never been beaten.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I am. I know.
And Jordan, have you won one yet?
Rick, I've got one.
You've got one.
Hold on, Rick didn't win. Rick played last week and didn't win, so he's not 2 from 2.
Did he not?
I did. I was doing it, Jack, last
week. Yeah, he was in charge.
Ah, right. Okay. Yeah, sorry.
Fighting talk.
He is, isn't he? All right, Jack.
To be fair, Jack did claim that he got Joey Johnson about 5 seconds before me when he was listening to it.
I did.
In Australia. And
I did, because I know his dad's a manager.
Yeah, but that's what everyone ahead, says when they listen to the
You're a day ahead of
mate.
Us.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Right, anyway, let's get going, shall we? First clue today, I was born on the 10th of June 1975. And yeah, I'll just help you out. That makes me 47 years of age.
Okay.
Yep, nobody's going to get that, but just so you've got an idea. Of
Julian Watts.
it's not Julian Watts, but I love the guess. My middle name is Malcolm. It's of no relevance, but I like the fact his middle name is Malcolm.
I feel like, so he would have been 24 in the year 2000.
Or 25.
Andy
Impey.
No, it's not.
So he could have played either side of the turn of the millennium. So, I mean, the first two clues, we're not going to get it. Are we?
Well, I joined Leicester City in the year 1999. I was part of the League
Phil
Cup Gilchrist, winning side in 2000. However, I was cup tied. Mm.
2000.
Arne Gudlaugsson.
It's not.
His middle name. Middle name's not likely to be.
No, Malcolm.
Malcolm but.
No, it's not. That'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? Arne Malcolm Gudlaugsson.
Yeah.
Robert Ullathorne.
It's not.
No.
Right. Now, I'll be honest. At this point, because this isn't a really rogue player, at this point, if you know the player, you'll probably get it. So this is the key clue for me. In the year 1997, I was called up by the England squad for...
Darren Eady.
Le Tournoi. Although I never went on to win a full cap. The correct answer is Darren Malcolm Eady.
Oh, well done, Jack.
Jack, very good. How come you knew that? Did you remember that squad from 1997, Tournoi?
Yeah. Well, I was trying to think who we signed. We signed him for like 3 million, didn't we, midway through the season. Very highly rated player.
Riddled with injuries.
He was too quick for his own body, weren't he? It was like
he was quick. Nobody was. He was. Yeah. I mean, that's... you may know, and I know Darren very well, worked with Darren for years. And that's why I wanted to include his middle name, because he hates his middle name. But of course, Darren was at Norwich and was incredible. And then the only reason, obviously, Leicester bought him was because at the time that the club was going to fold. It was not too dissimilar to a Matt Piper scenario, that Delia Smith actually brought him into the boardroom and said, look, if you don't leave, the club may go under. You know, he didn't want to leave Norwich. And it was only because he had family from Leicester, which is why he chose to sign for Leicester at the time, and because it was the closest Premier League team to Norwich. But he never really wanted to leave. But as you said, you know, riddled with knee injuries. I think he had over 27 altogether in the end. And to this day, Darren can't run for kind of more than 20, 30 minutes without his knees just flaring up. But top bloke is Darren Eady. An absolute shame that we never got a fully fit Darren Eady, because he was incredible. He was, and £3 million at the time was a big outlay by the club. But in the end, he scored twice in 40 games.
It's a record signing, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, yeah. Yeah, it's a real shame we didn't get more of a player out of him. But it's interesting, though, because I've spoken to Darren lots about that team from that era, which is, of course, you know, your Jerry Taggetts, your Robbie Savage, Matty Elliott. And he talks about that era of what it was like in terms of the culture, like particularly with drinking. And I mean, Darren's not a big lad and isn't a big drinker, never has been. But he says that, you know, back in the day, that's basically if you couldn't hack it, if you couldn't drink with the lads, you know, you really struggled to kind of fit in. And he said he had no problems fitting
Taylor?
In. To know what, I don't know. I've got great stories about Trevor Benjamin and Stan Collymore. He wasn't a big fan of Robbie Savage. And it's interesting, actually, because, you know, it's very rare you hear ex-players talk badly about former teammates, I find. But you ask Pipes and you ask Darren about anyone that they didn't really completely get along with, and the only player they ever mention is Robbie Savage. And I do find that interesting. They never slam him. They're never horrible about him, but... If you ever say who's the one player you got on with least, it's always Robbie Savage. But yeah, no, Darren said literally back in the day when they used to train, more often than not, they just end up at the boozer afterwards and they'd be there all afternoon just drinking. And that's kind of what it's like, the drinking culture. And you know, that was part of the team spirit and the team building. And it just makes you think now, you know, because this is long before Twitter and any social media, what it'd be like if the blokes were down the pub getting absolutely leathered. The reality is it didn't really hinder or, you know, affect their performances back then, did it? And what a great team that was.
Well, I thought that would be the best team I'd ever see in my lifetime, and I would have only been 11 in 2000. But three League Cup finals, I went to all three. My first one was Palace in the playoffs, sadly missed the three before. But yeah, I mean, what was it, 7 trips to Wembley in 10 years? And I went to 4 of them, which I was always very proud of anyway, because I always used to say, this was before we were any good properly. I said, oh, well, I've seen my team 4 times at the old Wembley. Not many teams can say that. But now, you know, Wembley's our second home, isn't it? We'll be back there this season. So no surprise.
Right. Should we look ahead to next week or this coming weekend? Yeah, let's do that. So we've got over the hurdles of Villa and Spurs with flying colours, but the tests continue to kind of come our way and with similar levels of difficulty. And it's United and then Arsenal, but United up first. I was there last year at Old Trafford, and we played really well. And if people remember, this was the goal that was ruled out, wasn't it? It was Ian actually fouled Varane. Madison scored. That one was ruled out. Ended up drawing. But anyway, it was a really good performance on the day. Gutted we didn't win it. And I'm now pretty excited by this game. And yeah, I mean, What do we make of United first and foremost? Because they're actually up there, whereas in the last couple of years they maybe haven't, and that Old Trafford fortress has kind of just not been much of a fortress. But Jordan, I think it's fair to say that it's probably going to be the toughest trip up there in a good few years, isn't it? Just because of how good they're playing at the moment. You look at the likes of Rashford and Garnacho and that pace that they've got. You know, for a long time, I'm actually quite fearful of the players they've got.
Yeah, I mean, since we came back up, I seem to think we've got a reasonable record lately at Old Trafford. Ten Hag seems to have gotten on the same sort of hymn sheet this year. Although that said, Rashford's in the form of his career and he's carrying them at the minute, I think. So if you can keep Rash quiet, then I think we've got a good chance. I don't think that, you know, they're still up to much at the back. I mean, Maguire played again. Every time it gets me.
Yeah, when I saw that lineup, I thought it was Maguire at left back and Shaw centre half.
Yeah, he likes to play Shaw there, doesn't he?
That'd be hilarious, wouldn't it, if he got shoved out to the left.
I mean, yeah, like I say, Rashford, you know, sorry to digress slightly, but England are playing in Naples, playing Italy, the first qualifier. For me, he's the first name on the team sheet for the national team. So he's on absolute fire at the minute. And I love that Garnacho. Rick probably... Well, Rick probably knows, you know, he's the transfer guru. He's one that I'd love to get on loan next season if they can get a winger in United. But look, 7 points out of the last three games. Include Walsall. We've not lost in four, which, you know, we've got to take everything we can get at the minute. So we'll say it's four games rather than three unbeaten. And look, the lads are going to be going there full of confidence now. And so is Brendan. And I mean, you'd snap your hand off for a point. And to be honest, if we get beat and play well, I'm not that bothered. As long as the performance levels don't drop and we show that we're competing, then that'll do me, to be honest.
That is the thing, though, isn't it? Yeah. When you go into a run of fixtures like this, and the position that we were in the league, it puts a hell of a lot of pressure on you. But Rick, the fact that we have now got them back-to-back wins, it does take the pressure off now, doesn't it, in terms of those games? Because if you got to the second one, the third one, and you still hadn't won, you know, you'd been kind of just looking at the fixtures thinking, where's this next win going to come from? But it takes the pressure off the lads now, doesn't it? And also, they're playing well as well. So it's a pretty good recipe and pretty good position to be and mindset to be going into a game at, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, these run of fixtures didn't look overly enthralling, did they? Even after last week, you're still thinking, oh, we've got Spurs, Man United and Arsenal. It could still be horrible, but I feel like we've earned almost, not a free hit next weekend, but we're going into it with confidence. And I know it makes no difference because they're under a new regime, but in recent years, Man United have not been a massive problem for us. I think because under Solskjaer and then Ranić, or whatever his name is, they never used to press. So, you know, in previous seasons, if teams didn't press us, we didn't tend to have much trouble. I don't know now at the minute about teams pressing or not pressing because we've been a bit all over the place this season. But yeah, I think we've got to go into it confident. Jack's said earlier about, you know, it did probably be a blessing in disguise that Yuri was out and Mendy had the performance of his career for Leicester because, you know, you perhaps do need that bit more solidarity there, even though Mendy's like 5'1". What we do next weekend on that midfield mix, we'll leave that probably for Brendan to choose. But yeah, you got to be quietly confident. My only concern that Jordan just said about Rashford is Rashford, if he's playing sort of that left side, you know, sort of roaming in. I know Garnacho plays there as well, but if he's up against Castagne, who's probably our weakest link at the minute behind Danny Ward. But again, Castagne's due probably a good performance or two because he's got it in him. So yeah, you're just happy and relaxed. Whereas 2 weeks ago, it's a horrible fixture, isn't it, that you don't want?
Yeah, no, I'm thinking about those matchups, Jack, and you know, Suter against Weghorst, comfortable with that. It probably is really if Rashford was playing on the other side up against Christiansen, I'd love to see that battle because I think it's exactly the kind of thing you'd relish, isn't it? But yeah, with Castagne, obviously he's a long way from being a liability. But the way that Rashford is playing right now, he's getting the best of pretty much every fullback there is, isn't he?
He is. He's playing very, very well. And yeah, I think it falls on Timmy, but also like that's probably why the balance of the midfield is quite important, because Rashford does dip inside and sort of get into those sort of half spaces there. So yeah, I mean, I thought Castagna was better yesterday than he was. I thought Villa, he was very poor. I thought he was all right yesterday. I think he's pretty steady as a player. I mean, he's sort of 7 out of 10 most weeks. So yeah, and I think he is slightly a better defender than like Ricardo or most of our other fullbacks. Although I think Christiansen's making a case that he's our best defensive fullback as well. So yeah, I mean, I think that's a challenge. Their wingers are very strong. I think Veghorst against Suter will be a good challenge. I really like Suter. I think he's got like a, I think Wout's gone sort of full chaos again and is flying into tackles, which is great to see. But I think that's because he's got a guy next to him that's not doing that. And I think I think Harry's defending forward as Brendan says, but he just seems really calm and really chilled. I think there was I don't know if you saw it, there was an interview, Optus, who do the sports, yeah, I saw out it, here. Yeah. It's just very like, it just seems like he's having a very nice time and just enjoying every minute. I worried a little bit about his pace, but he's got great mobility, great with the ball at his feet. You know, I don't think probably not going to hit the levels of Fofana as a centre back, but he's absolutely perfect for us. And as you know, he's probably a Johnny Evans replacement. I think at the moment he's shown in two games he's a better player than Johnny Evans is now, and Johnny Evans has been one of our best ever defenders. So there's no greater compliment I can pay him. I mean, long way to go, clearly. But yeah, I think that the balance of, whilst we are conceding goals, the balance of the defence looks all right. And yeah, hopefully Timmy can regain his form a little bit. But yeah, I think, you know, it's not a bad time to play him. I think we've mentioned they're playing Barcelona on Thursday night as well, which is a massive game for them. So
Sunday,
it's not
Thursday,
the
Sunday.
Worst time to be playing Man U and Arsenal with the European games coming back in, although I can't work out who Arsenal have got in the Euro. I think the Europa starts a bit later, but there's a lot of games for these sides. And actually, you know, hopefully we see the benefit of us playing once a week now, which we've not done for a very, very long time.
Yeah, no, I agree with everything you said about the defence there and Suter and Evans for sure. And yeah, that part of that interview, which I liked most of all, if people haven't seen it, he gets asked, you know, how he prepared to play up against Harry Kane. And he just basically said, well, just like a whatever game, which is basically just saying, Harry Kane is a championship striker, and that's how he viewed him, and that's how he dealt with him. And he did absolutely brilliant. Jordan, before we finish in a few minutes' time, we've got to mention Ricky P, haven't we? Got a big standing ovation yesterday. He made his way back out onto the pitch for the first time this season. Great to see. And I flew straight into a couple of tackles, and I'm probably doing the same thing as everybody else when he does that now. I'm thinking, no, please, just take it easy. You know, don't go too hard on him. He's a bit fragile, bless him. I was a little bit surprised that he's come back in again quite quickly. I do get a little bit concerned because he's only played one game, hadn't he, for the under-23s. You know, when people have been out for that long, I can't help but feel personally he should play a few more games before coming back into the first team. But anyway, I'm going to trust the medical team at Leicester. I probably shouldn't. Yeah, exactly. See all your faces there. But anyway, irrespective, it was great to see him back out there, and obviously hoping and praying he can stay fit, because if he does stay fit, it's going to be like a new signing, isn't it? Because we know what he's capable of doing.
Yeah, a new signing again. We've signed Ricardo again. Three times now.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I was the same when he come on. I've been there myself, done my knee, and I came on for 10 minutes at the end, got absolutely nailed, and then didn't play again for another 6 months. So I know what it's like. And he went in for two or three, not like crunching tackles, but he got his body in. He's low, and he gets his body in. And I just thought, oh God, he just, all you need to do is fall on your knee. Like, well, Bentancur did it, didn't he? It looked like he did his knee.
Apparently it might be, yeah.
So yeah, I was wincing a little bit, but great to see him. Great ovation. Seeing his social media posts, and he looks like he's absolutely buzzing to be back. So hopefully he gets a few more games in the under-23s or wherever. And gets back to proper fitness, because if And we've said this before, and we've said it about JJ, but if he can get back to the heights that he showed, I mean, what a player.
Yeah, would you start him against Blackburn? That's quite probably an ideal situation, isn't it, to give him an hour or 45 minutes?
Yeah, you say that. I mean, we were talking yesterday in the pub, weren't we, about the manager will be saying to the medical team, is he ready? There's no point in asking the player because he'll say, yeah, I'm ready.
Yeah, yeah. Knocked out cold and you wake up. It's like, you okay? Yeah.
I mean, the bloke's played with a broken leg before and an ACL, didn't he, against Villa that first time, and then when Tyler Morton clattered him at Liverpool, so he'll
carry
on.
What's happened to Tyler Morton, by the way?
You know, he plays for Blackburn, I think.
Oh, does he? I literally thought about that the other day. Where is he?
I didn't know that. Maybe don't play him against Blackburn then.
Yeah, maybe not.
That's true. Of course, yeah. Sorry, I just twigged what Jack said.
Yeah. I just checked. He plays for Blackburn. Right, so, okay. Yeah.
And maybe he fancies a bit of revenge, but I think exactly. He'll leave that to Vardy.
Yeah, so we'll set a suitor on him. We'll do that maybe.
Have you seen that photo of Suter and Maddison?
No, I haven't.
Well, just standing next to each other. Like, Suter is like double the size of him.
He's an absolute giant.
If you want some Australian, you know the answer to this because I've sent it to you, but if you want some Australian-based quiz question, that Harry Suter is the second tallest player to ever play for Australia. The tallest player also played for Leicester.
Spider Kallak.
Most
famous for coming on and not doing anything.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I think he's most famous for winning the Champions League with AC Milan. But
depends what part of the world, obviously. Leicester. Yeah, exactly. Lads, is there anything else you want to mention? Kind of any other business time before we wrap up the episode?
I have one.
Yes, go for it.
Well done to the ladies today. They beat Liverpool. Hannah Kane with the goal, and they've now won two.
Nice.
So they're crawling back the point difference at the bottom of the WSL. So good to see the club are on the up all round.
Like that. Good mention. And I just want to mention as well, so this is kind of for the benefit of the listeners, but also kind of you, Rick, is that next week we've got Arsenal, haven't we?
Yeah.
And a little heads up. Hoping to get Laura Woods on the podcast. Don't get too excited, everyone. I'm sure Laura will come on and do us a favour. Now, Rick, the reason why I'm directing this in your way is because you penned some beautiful words about Tete a week or so ago. I would like you to not creep Laura out, because she's heard it all before, mate, a million times, but I'd love you to write a poem for Laura. Could you do that for us?
Not a problem. Yeah, that's fine. There won't be anything. There'll be none of that funny business involved.
No.
Do we not have a poem this week? We don't have a poem this week.
No, I did a little one for Nampalis Mendy, didn't I, yesterday?
Yeah.
Do you want me to recite that? Is it fit for purpose, do you think?
Oh, that was very good.
I can't remember it, but the fact you had to ask the question usually means no.
Well, I tread a fine line, don't I?
You do. Go on.
A man named Nampalis who leathered it right up Spurs' arse. He scored his first goal for Leicester in 7 years, and Brendan was back in the changing room quoting Ray Mears. Up the Mendy, up the fucking City.
What a beautiful and brilliant way to end the episode. Rick, you got a beautiful way of words, my man. You've got a week. Start writing something about Laura, but keep it nice and clean because I have to work with a lady. And then, just could make things really awkward for me, so don't do that. So anyway, look, I really enjoyed this week's episode. Hope everyone has as well. Man United up next. We'll be back next week. Enjoy the week. And good luck to see you at the weekend.
Podcast Network.